We Talk Podcast presents.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam, well, in my breath not, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Well, Joel, for the first time in a long time, and we're probably jinxing ourselves, Lord knows we're jinxing ourselves, is the deadest One Fall of 2016.
Yeah, 2016 has been a roller coaster of emotion, but this week, kind of calm. I feel like it's a calm before the storm. I feel like as we get closer to the draft, to the Cruiserweight Classic, we're going to be sitting there praying for days where I was like, there's not a whole lot to talk about today, but we're still going to talk some wrestling anyways, because there are some things, small little things that happen and worth kind of hitting on.
These next 2 weeks... 2 days, 2 weeks in particular, are particularly dead. Next week's Raw is on Independence Day, 4th of July, whatever you want to call it. And you know they're not going to bust out anything big on that day.
No. And they can't really, because, I mean, the biggest thing right now is you know you're going up against some stiff competition. And you know that it's July 4th. What will people be wanting to do more?
Barbecuing, maybe putting a ball game on or something, but it's going to be a lot of time spent with family. I think this is the sixth ever Monday Night Raw on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Six, seven, somewhere along there.
Yeah. I would expect something big with Cena at the end. Expect Cena to go over. Expect some kind of big United States title moment, but that's kind of just... weird, because all of a sudden Titus is kind of out of the picture and it looks like Cesaro's in the picture now, Joel.
Yeah, I don't think Titus clicked as much as they'd hoped, and then they're like, well, let's go on to the next thing and maybe put the title on Cesaro and let him out.
Who else can make out with their son? Cesaro. He's Swiss.
Yeah, that's definitely been a sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
On that, that's one thing that stuck out most from that match, and not even the match itself, but mostly just kind of talking about that, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, it never really bugged me. You and I had mentioned it to you that people were making a big deal out of it, and it's something that when I saw the match, and I saw that Titus kissed his son on the lips, I'm like, okay. I didn't really overthink it, and I wonder if it's just wrestling fans just being super immature about it. I mean, sure, there's not many... My dad doesn't think it personal. My dad doesn't kiss me on the lips, and I'm sure I'm not speaking for you, but I'm assuming yours doesn't either.
No.
But it's not something I'm kind of picking out of an entire match.
Yeah, like you had this whole thing, and that's your focus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So we'll see what happens. I like the idea of Cesaro there, but it's just kind of like he's out of the IC and he's into the US.
I think he's. Gotta be in a position for success, I would hope.
Well, you would think that, like, out of the two titles, the U.S. makes more sense for him because, you know, you and I are fans of The Miz, and we'll get to his segment this week because it was interesting. but both you and I both like The Miz, but, you know, it's better to beat him than to beat Rusev, who they're making a... monster, whichever brand he goes to, Russo's going to be your top heel. You know, probably a top 2 to 3 heel.
Yeah.
So you want to, you know, have a challenger you would think that would be at a high level that could, you know, just get defeated easily but look good. And I guess that's the kind of level that Cesaro's at now. We just all kind of have to accept it.
Yeah. I think Cesaro will eventually, it'll be very interesting with the brand split, and we'll get to that in a little bit as well, but I think the brand split could help out Cesaro's position.
I mean, by no means do I, those matches are going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Between Cesaro and Rusev. You know, he lost on SmackDown right away, but it was right after. So we're just assuming that it's going to carry on from there, and I don't know, but maybe they could add some people to it, because know, it kind of seems like ADR and Cesaro have something going on, and I don't know what they're doing with ADR. So yeah, maybe they sneak him into there. Maybe it's a fatal four-way at the pay-per-view. I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting because it's kind of, you're in limbo with some of these guys, and it's really hard to commit to any booking because you don't want to book any serious major feuds yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because with this brand split, it suddenly, and I've heard that it threw kind of the booking out the window, so now you're kind of left going, well, what do we do?
Yeah, as far as booking goes, I think the only program you can consider that will more than likely carry on is the Cena-AJ. And even that, you know, the way they may change their mind, I wouldn't guarantee, but I would say it's pretty good chance that Cena and AJ Styles are going to end up on SmackDown together.
I've heard something along the lines of Roman ending up on SmackDown, Cena ending up on
Gross.
Raw, and AJ ending up on SmackDown as well.
Because
you got to think, we can hit on it quickly. There have been some rumors floating around about what Roman... Nothing's been confirmed yet, but Josh, I sent you that text message.
Mm-hmm.
What is the rumor for Roman Reigns failing the drug test?
Just sounds like they wanted to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
So, but like, who's giving this source that they sweeped it under the rug?
It's been popping up here and there. It's nothing solid. That's the one thing. That's why I don't want to talk about it too much, because a lot of these stuff is the internet, and it's nothing. It's not a Meltzer solid story. But
yeah, there's a few random things this week that it's just like, this is floating around, like the Hogan stuff, which we'll get to in a bit. It's floating around. The Kurt Angle stuff was floating around. Like, nothing was for sure.
It would be a bigger week if we had more confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of
honestly,
this feels
look,
like it's just at the cusp.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if they hit it, but to have someone that would leak that, that's some pretty big balls. I don't know.
Yeah, and the other thing, like, what I'd read from that article was, basically it was, they were going to have him drop the title clean. Vince was very adamant about that. And I've heard that from a few different, more reliable sources, that Vince was very adamant that Roman loses to Seth clean. And no one really knew why. Everyone thought it was going to be kind of a screwy finish.
Yeah.
That's how Dean was going to cash in and win. But Vince was so like, Seth needs to pin him clean. So... obviously, Vince wanted to punish Roman to a small degree with that.
Well, it's even weird if you listen to Raw, the different opinions of the entire thing from different authority figures. Dean Ambrose, the champion, supporting him. And Stephanie McMahon saying it's an absolute embarrassment. So it's like, what side of this are they on? Because at times during that segment, I texted you during... It seemed like they were trivializing it. Yeah, they're trivializing it at times and making it seem like, oh, well, this is a situation that he's going to kind of overcome the odds. And you can't even give a sliver of that. This is a guy that is an embarrassment, that took your drug test and failed it, but they still want to save face with him on television, and you had to talk about it on TV. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, they had to talk about it. I don't know if I like that they kind of turned it into a work shoot, but I think they need to address it, and now they can move on.
And Seth, you know, Seth's in a difficult position as a heel, right?
Yeah.
Because he needs to talk about it as the heel. And he needs to get himself over, and Roman's still the babyface. So it's an awkward position for him to work where he's going to knock him down. The crowd is agreeing with it, but the way it was done, you could tell, was to get babyface heat.
Yeah. Because Steph rips him apart. You're having the heels rip him apart, but you're having that babyface stand by him. My biggest thing is you can't make a drug user a babyface. Not right away. Is he going to win at Battleground, Josh?
I want to be shocked. Look, it's early, but I kind of think Dean as a champion hasn't really hit.
I don't know. I think it's been, like, they had a bump in ratings after Money in the Bank. People want to tune in and find out what was going on.
Let me do this. It hasn't worked for me. It's just, I'll sound kind of like the authority during Daniel Bryan. He just kind of seems like a B-plus player. As far as champion material goes, he doesn't seem like a champion to me.
He definitely has. I don't know. I haven't minded, and I think we'll get to it. I think Dean and AJ was good, and I think Dean has looked strong for the most part, which is a good thing, because this is a guy that was torn down for the better part of the first 6 months of 2016.
Well, that's, I think, what it is. It's like I talked about last week. It's not hitting when the iron is hot, like much like they did with Alberto Del Rio and Dolph. It's he's good, he's champion, but this could have been done at a better time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I don't think they necessarily need to have the title on Hunter.
No. He's gonna have it in 3 weeks. Don't worry.
Oh yeah.
He's gonna get it from the GM, and he'll have 15.
Yep. And they'll bring Bischoff back just to do that one thing.
Hey, if it's not gonna get the Bishop back. It was weird. We didn't get the GMs again this week.
Yeah,
we just got Kane again. I think it's maybe done.
Yeah, so no Vicky, no Eric Bischoff, which I'm a little surprised. With the DVD, I thought they would have.
Yeah, me too.
Pop by and pump that.
I thought we were getting an anonymous GM for sure.
We probably still will. That's what we'll bust out 4th of July.
You might as well try something. I think you got to get like. You don't need to go over the top, but you can give like a little gimmick at least, you know, like even if something like the anonymous GM where a good minority, I'm weird. I liked it, but a good minority didn't like it, but it's buzz, right?
Yeah.
If people hear the anonymous GM is back for this episode, people might just turn in because people are aware of that storyline.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I definitely think, You need to create a little. I mean, Kurt Angle created big buzz for a 4th of July show.
That would be true, but I think we both agree. If he's, you know, it's. It sounds like if they're going to get anybody, any time for Kurt to come out, it's going to be on the Pittsburgh show.
Yeah.
If he does it all, because, you know, there's the big thing about fear of him dying, which I think is a little ridiculous. Kurt's been pretty healthy now for 2 years, and he's got a family he cares about and all that stuff. I think it's a little ridiculous.
It's like the biggest thing with, I want to get back to Dean, but quickly with the Kurt stuff, I definitely can see why they'd be a little bit more leery on the guy, because he's had a rocky past. And he definitely kind of screwed Vince by the, I'm going to go away, get better, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sign with TNA. Good on TNA. That was a big get for them. That helped definitely elevate them and create some memorable matches for them. But I think that definitely soured Vince. And, I mean, Kurt can still go in the ring. And I'd love to see him against some of the guys in WWE right now. I just don't know if Vince is going to get past not only the checkered past, but the way things ended.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only person that can broker a deal is Hunter. And as long as Kurt kind of keeps his mouth shut and doesn't keep blabbing, then we should be good.
Yeah. I think you just kind of live. If you have him back, he doesn't have to be a mainstream performer. He's just a guy that, you know, every other day, special occurrences, much like a Brock, but even more limited than Brock, even performs.
Yeah.
And even like Hunter, more or less, right? Like, he doesn't have to be a guy that's on every single show. A lot of these guys that are coming back, side maybe like an MVP and a Carlito type of guy, they don't have to go every single day, a lot of these guys. Yeah. You can use them as special attractions for a reason.
Draw some viewers in and then show them the rest of the talent you've got. And have them hooked on the talent that you have that you're going to be moving forward with the future. Because you got, let's go back to Dean. Dean's a draw. Dean is still, and there's a reason why they put the title on him. He's outdrawing Roman, mm-hmm. the champion. So you want to almost, if you're going to punish Roman, Dean was the perfect one to have ultimately get the title. I think there's bigger plans for Seth in SummerSlam. But
Seth's had a nice little run, too. Like, a lot of clean wins over AJ Styles, John Cena, like, Roman. He's had some nice, clean finishes.
Yeah. So he's definitely starting to and that's one thing you want to do with him. You have to regrow his stock to the point where people buy into him again. Because his last run last year wasn't hot.
No, like he lost a lot. There was, that month and a half streak of him losing. And I've actually liked a lot what they've done with Seth, because most of the time these guys come back and you make a big deal about them and they don't look good. Like Cena can lose every single night and you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like Cena's lost twice now since he's came back and you don't even think about it, you know? Just think, oh yeah. But John Cena comes out and you expect him to win every match. He's just at the Teflon level right now, right? Yeah. But Seth, you want to build him up to that. You need those Teflon guys that, you know, it doesn't matter if they lose a match. KO, weirdly enough, is getting there just because he loses so much and you're just like, all right, well, whatever. KO's going to lose.
Yeah. Here's an interesting little bit. They're doing a show in Honolulu and Shinsuke Nakamura's there.
He is.
And there's a rumor that Shinsuke versus Cena, you know, that would be, that qualifies as a dream match, doesn't it?
I think anything against a guy that was reasonably big in the past 10 years for Cena is a dream match. You know, it's kind of the first guy that you and I always hit on. Like, I mean, even the guys like Jay Lethal or Roderick Strong versus John Cena are a big deal.
Yeah. I definitely, that'd be a fun match to see. But back to Mr. Ambrose. And I think Ambrose needs to get more wins to get to that point where, if he loses a match or two, it doesn't hurt him. Because, like you said, with Cena, Cena's Teflon. But that's from years and years and years of John Cena. I think if Dean needs to win at Battleground, if you want, you can't just put the title on him just because you want punishment.
But the thing is, who does he pin? Is it the idea that you've had Seth win all these matches, so now it makes sense if Seth loses because Seth has been looked at as a big deal. And you're still protecting Roman as well. He doesn't eat the clean pin, and then you can do Roman and Dean like we think at SummerSlam.
Yeah. And Roman can't win the title this year. Because everything's still going to be like, well, he failed the drug test this year. You fast forward to next year, and if you have him win a title, then people be like, people have shorter memories, so it'll be a little bit easier to be like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
But we know Roman's winning the title again this year.
Yes, I know. He'll probably win it twice.
He's probably going to win it at Battleground again, or more than likely he's going to win it back at SummerSlam, because I can't see Dean holding onto the title past SummerSlam.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I don't want it, because you need to send a message, and I think that's ultimately, that would send a message to the locker room of, hey, if you fail this and we believe in you, we're not going to just brush it under the rug and hug you, give you a huggy like Vince says, and just let you continue to go. You gotta own up to your mistake. You gotta toil around in the dirt a little bit, and then eventually, if you do all those things, don't complain, don't go on Twitter, don't go on YouTube, don't do any of these crazy things, we'll put the title back on you and let you go again. It just, to me, that's how I would do it. Obviously, this is WWE, so it's not going to be like their smartest choice. And I definitely agree with you. I think SummerSlam, Roman goes over. What type of reaction does he get, Josh?
Booze.
It doesn't matter now. He's entered into that heel territory.
People didn't like him enough, and now he's going to get chances of druggy chance at Adam or something like that. Suspended or something. I don't know what the chance is going to be. They'll come up with something more creative than we can right now, but it's going to be something around those lines, and it's going to be hard for him to overcome it. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter, because the crowd's been chanted against him more and more. It's just a little bit extra for them to chant against him. It doesn't really matter. Like, and you hear them say like they wanted to sweep this under the rug, but this is maybe the realistically, if other reports are true, they tried to sweep prior one under the rug.
Yeah, because we've heard that as well. That's been floating around. That apparently
so this been 60 days.
Yeah. So what is this? So now this makes the whole wellness policy kind of look like you do a double take at it. And you definitely kind of go, I don't know, man. There's like, some guys get dinged really hard and they come down really hard on them. And then other guys, they kind of go, well, we need you, so you can kind of do what you want. We'll punish you, we'll wave our finger at you and tell you no, don't do that again. We'll publicly announce that you're suspended, but we're going to wag our finger at you. So if this is a guy that's already in a bit of a, like, has... Technically, if the rumors are true, two possible suspensions against him, then this guy is on should be on the cusp of getting fired if he gets caught a third time.
Mm-hmm. And if and so the rule is, because some people have been wondering this with Jeff Hardy, because it looks like he's going to be back in the company soon, right? Yeah. Seems like he's going to do this Matt Hardy feud in TNA, and I would expect Jeff Hardy to be in the Royal Rumble next year. I think that's how Jeff Hardy would come back.
Yeah. You know the Social Outcast theme song kind of sounds like his, and some people thought it was Jeff Hardy's theme song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, okay. The little beginning beat, and I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, I can definitely see it being along those lines.
So, what I was saying is, he has the two suspensions, right?
Yeah.
Those are wiped out now. If he comes back, he's clean sheet.
Really?
Once you've been released and come back, it's a clean sheet. So Jeff Hardy gets suspended all over again. And let's say Jeff Hardy got three violations. You're not banned for life. By what their contract states, their players union would you or whatever, he would be out of the WWE for 2 years, and then he can come back. Let's if Roman had a third infraction, yeah. That's the rule. So it That's what would happen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. That to me is a little... Like, they have little workarounds for stuff.
Yeah, Vince has his loopholes. The whole company has their loopholes, and people thought that was going to happen with Jeff, and they still put him on top. That's why when this Randy stuff happened, I'm just like... They still worked with Jeff Hardy, who, you know, wasn't their guy... He was the other, like, kind of, I guess we'll push him because you guys want him type of guy. And Roman is, he's our guy. And there, so that's why Roman's still going to get pushed. And we'll see. Like, it's, you know, and I had talked for a while about this week coming up now with, not St. Patrick's Day, Independence Day. And it's kind of the lull before the draft. And it's kind of it was kind of when they do that weird time between Christmas and the Royal Rumble. Where there's such a lull there, and they just kind of test people out.
Yeah.
I feel that's kind of what they're doing with Dean Ambrose right now. It's like, all right, well, this is the lull right now. This is 5 weeks before a pay-per-view. Let's check out what we can get with this guy.
Yeah. I definitely think that I would not be shocked if they kind of go and see where things stand with certain guys. Because, I mean, you're doing the brand split. You need certain guys. You need to pad your roster. I mean, is it just... How's a three-hour Raw going to fill with the roster split in half, Josh?
That's the question, and I'm sure that's when we have Mo come on to debate us about this. It's the thing he's going to bring up, and it's a very valid point. I had brought up to you that I was pretty bored with Raw. This Monday, I get it. There was their high points and stuff, but yeah, it's going to be hard. I still protest my idea of 2 hours for the main, just for the guys, and then an hour just for the women, and that's the women's hour. Is either the start of the Raw or the end of the Raw. I'd probably say they probably go to the start. If that first block there is just the women's show, and all the women go there, and they get their block, and that'd be awesome. And then the next 2 hours, it's just all the men. I think that would work out a lot better. I know you're not a big fan of that, but that's something I think would maybe benefit everybody.
Yeah. I don't necessarily... It could definitely be... It would be interesting to see how that would play out, how people would respond. I mean, you do two 20-minute matches, including entrances with the women. That gives you 40 minutes. You got 10 minutes of commercial, and then you have 10 minutes of talking. That's potential to fill it out.
I mean, you remember, like, TNA's Impact originally was an hour. Raw originally was an hour. NXT is an hour. And NXT, some would say, is the best show on television. Yeah. And we have the women to do this, you know?
Yeah, and you do have a deeper roster, so...
Because that 2 hours is going to be hard. I mean, unless you're going to have longer matches or guest hosts, or I don't know what they're going to do.
I would think that they would have to have a guest host. I mean, sorry, they'd have to have longer matches.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably make the most sense, because you do have some talent and some depth there that you can do it.
Yeah, for sure.
So... I'm kind of okay with if they give, like, Cesaro another 5 minutes to go in the ring. I think that opens up the door for some of these guys to shine even brighter.
It depends. Like, what do you want to do, too? Like, do you want SmackDown to be the wrestler show, or do you want it to be the show with names that you know off the big names, like the Roman Reigns or your Dean Ambrose, names that more people are familiar with? Or is it... You know, we'll put AJ and KO and all these guys on here and just have, like, all the indie darlings and have the recreation of the SmackDown 6. Or do you want to put some bigger names onto Raw? Because that's still the flagship. It's very interesting.
I think you still got to... You put the names on the flagship show, and you let SmackDown be the little thing that could.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I would be totally cool with, because... I think you could definitely do some nice things on SmackDown with some of the talent there. So roll with it, and I think that I mean, you're gonna get another title on there, and you gotta think there's a certain phenomenal guy that was only supposed to be a mid-card guy could be holding the title there, and I think that Dean obviously has to go to Raw because he's the champion.
If he is at the time.
Yeah. Well, he will be still at the draft.
I'm just saying, like for that Raw, the first Raw.
Yeah.
Do you wonder if they're going to just have, like, the pop? You know, Roman Reigns returns, and he's returning as a conquering champion.
It's totally possible. And then that definitely would bump ratings, because people want to see, how does Roman handle the first night back on Monday Night Raw after 30-day suspension, winning the championship? How does the crowd feel? There'd be a lot of questions to it, so it's not necessarily a bad thing to do, but it would also, I think it sends a negative message that if you get popped and the roster, the company believes in you, it doesn't matter, because you're still going to get that push regardless.
The crazy thing is, too, like, if Roman gets it, he'll be a four-time champion. He'll only be two behind of Jericho as far as title reigns, like,
holy
in
crap.
Less than a year.
Man, I don't like.
How many do Michaels have? Four, right? He'll be two behind. He'll be two behind Brett.
Brett only had five.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he'll be one behind. He's two behind Brett right now. One behind Brett. I think Sean only had five as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think.
No, maybe Sean only had four. Maybe three, even.
How many did the Hulkster have? And we should mention...
I think Hogan had three or four as WWE. Because he had, I think, three originally. Because he dropped the title to... Who did he drop the title to?
Oh.
He lost the title to Andre in that tournament.
Yeah, and then...
He lost the title to Warrior. And then, Randy got it from that. Then he lost it somehow. He lost it beforehand to that. I think he had it three times in WWE, because he won it back from. He won it against the Sheik. He won it from Randy. He won it from Slaughter, and he won it against Yokozuna, and then he won it against Triple H. So there's five. WCW, I don't know.
Yeah, Michaels is a four-time champion.
Okay.
So, and I still stand by, and this is a podcast for another day, I definitely think Michaels is one of the greatest of all time. So, to have equal world title reigns in almost less than a year, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I know it doesn't mean the same as it did previously, but it's still...
But they had gotten the title back to that. That's the thing, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Drink it in, man.
Drink that, you know, Jericho's... That segment, I want to talk about that. Something positive. That was a really good segment. Really good promo from Sam.
Jericho, he did it again.
Yeah.
He did it again. He reinvested himself. He has a new catchphrase. It's just funny. It's so mirrors what happened the last time he was there.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he came back and he was, I told him rock and roll, and it just wasn't clicking and it wasn't funny and it didn't work. And then he just kind of found this other character and he just tore everything down again. The jacket was gone. Like, everything that just kind of worked was gone. And now he has the scarf and he has this and that. And it all just works.
Yeah. And he was the perfect little shit disturber in that between Sammy and KO. And mm-hmm. Sami Zayn, for a guy that is a vanilla midget, sure had a lot of heart in that promo.
He did.
And KO delivered that as always. I don't think this feud will ever truly die. I think they will always go back and forth.
I think there's going to be, they've still got time for the emotional return to each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen one day where...
It's going to be just like, what was it?
DX?
DX?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be probably the best way to equate it, would be someone's getting beat down, and one of them comes out to make a save, and then they form a tag team, and the whole internet collapses on itself.
It'll be a while until it happens. I don't know where either one of these guys go next. It really depends what brand they go to. That's the hardest thing, right? We can't really predict who's going where and what's going where until we know what brand they're going to be on.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge right now, is you now have to sit there and go, okay, where do we go next? But I definitely think they will tear the roof off Battleground.
Yeah, for sure.
And stipulation to that match, or is it just going to be a straight wrestling match again?
I wouldn't be shocked if there was one, but I mean, you can just go straight with them. They're both capable of it. They're both good enough at it. It'd be fine either with either one.
Yeah. Is this the first real feud that carried on from NXT, has carried on to the main roster and been successful?
Oh, I don't think there's been any other ones that even had the possibility.
Yeah, this just seems to be the one feud that has gone from the indies to NXT to WWE, and I think it just is going to continue. It just seems like they can have them get back together, then have KO turn, have them get back to... It'd be this whole, like you said, Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
You'll eventually get SummerSlam 2002 versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and a no-holds-bar match, unsanctioned match of some kind. It's a joy to watch these two go, and it's a joy to see that they still have a little bit of kayfabe in them.
Yeah.
Where you'll see tweets and like, no, I don't like him. So,
yep.
I thought it was one of the best segments from Raw.
I thought it just did a good job of selling it. It's just, again, the thing that kind of ruined it for me is like, oh, but there's still three more weeks of this.
Yeah.
So and got... why is there so long between Battleground?
I don't know. I think this was probably the best. They probably thought this may be the best time to do the draft.
Well, they didn't know this at the beginning of the year. There was no idea of the draft until like a few weeks ago.
I think they just... Well, I think the one thing that hurts it is you were going to have the Shield triple threat build for this. And now that's all gone.
Well, no, even if that was fine, but 5 weeks for a B-level show? That's just... It's not enough. It's way too much to wait around.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's...
I don't think there should be another pay-per-view. It's just they should have maybe put it a week or so earlier and then had that extra time to build a SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That would have worked out. That's what my point out of all this is. It's just so soon.
Yeah.
It's not soon. It's just such a delay. You know, like there's still three more of these Raws. And next week's a wash. That one in the middle after that is such a wash. And then the week before, it's like, okay, well, that's going to be more draft. But still, it's Man, it's they got to do. They maybe got to shoot a big angle or something. I don't know what they do, but like I don't know, man. It's rough. It really makes me not want to watch the product because I really find these next 3 weeks are just useless television.
It definitely, and I don't disagree with you. I definitely feel like they've kind of hit kind of that stagnant wall a little bit. So it's going to be interesting how they do because this will be different next year. Because yeah. Raw is suddenly going to have maybe a month where it's not going to have a pay-per-view. It'll be SmackDown. So how do you book that?
That's another thing too, yeah.
But the cool thing is with that is then you kind of can give one show a little bit more attention than the other show.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of float back and forth. And that kind of gives it a little bit more of a fresh vibe to it at times because you'll drift away for a month, watch SmackDown, and then you'll come back to Raw and watch that for a month a little bit more attentively. And then you go back to SmackDown and things are a little bit more fresh, so maybe that helps. But at the same time, you're now going to have longer builds for pay-per-views with the brand split.
Yep.
So it's going to be very interesting how long they wait to announce the next main event, how they're going to promote it, how things are going to go. When's the next draft? Do they do the draft lottery at the end of? Do they do that the night after WrestleMania? Do they wait until after the night after WrestleMania, give it a few weeks, and then do it? When's this going to play a factor? There's a lot of things, but my major concern with this draft lottery is I just want the big gold belt, Josh. I don't want anything blue.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing, though, that the title was renamed to the WWE title. It wasn't the World WWE World Confusing Name title.
So does this mean that the match, the most important match in WWE history, John Cena versus Randy Orton at TLC, wasn't the most important match in WWE history?
At the time it was.
Yeah.
Because that match is the reason that CM Punk left, too, though.
Yeah. It was a very big catalyst when you actually look back on it. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to split them back up.
And that CM Punk called the WWE slave owners this week, so we're going to stop talking about him coming back to the company for a while.
Yeah, and did you hear they released a little bit for Hornswoggle's You Shoot?
No.
And it revealed that the reason Hornswoggle is no longer friends with CM Punk.
Which is?
Well, Hornswoggle got a new phone, and Punk had introduced him to a friend. I don't have a name, just introduced him to a friend. And
lady friend or guy friend?
Guy friend.
Okay.
And got a new phone, and Hornswoggle came up to Punk and said, "Hey, I got a new phone. I just need to get this guy's number again, so, you know, I have it." And that ended Punk's and Hornswoggle's friendship. Because Punk looked at Hornswoggle as using him to get this number, and that terminated the friendship. At least this is Hornswoggle's recount.
He's a weird guy.
And it's one thing where you're kind of like, he's a weird guy, but is there more to this story?
Has to be more to it, because like the way he's telling it, like it's as weird as Punk is, it's just hard to believe that he's just going to end a friendship with someone because he asked for someone's number.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the KO in the restaurant story. It's like, okay, you know, maybe he was a jerk, but what's the whole story to it?
Yeah, and I definitely think there may probably more to this, but it's definitely interesting because, I mean, his name's popped up a fair bit in the news the last couple days between him not being favored in the Mickey Gall fight, which is obvious, the slave comment. And him saying, and he's already said, never say never of me returning to wrestling, but I will never wrestle on a televised show. It'll be me just dressed up as someone else, wrestling my buddies, and no one will have a clue it's me.
See, I had never heard that.
Yeah, I read that quote.
Again, I mean, you think about the things Warrior said, which were way worse.
Oh, yes.
And you think about the things that I said, brother.
And that's a nice little transition to our next level.
Yeah. So the Hulkster, he is back in the news in a positive way, weirdly enough. So he's won his lawsuits against Gawker. And there's a report that we have no sources to, so we're going to put a vague single confirmed on it, but we don't do anything unless it's triple to double confirmed. So we're not reporting this. It's just been out there. But Meltzer has more or less confirmed that the doors have opened for the Hulkster.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still so leery on him after everything that happened. We talked about this previously. We talked about the suspensions and guys having two strikes and becoming a liability in the company. Is Hulk Hogan... I see him as a bit of a liability for WWE. It's
hard. Well, how do you go to a sponsor and say, we have Hulk Hogan? Or how do you go to Good Morning America and say, we have Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, like...
Unless it's like something about like his lawsuit with Gawker. That's the only reason you really want to have Hogan on Good Morning America or Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. Other than that, you kind of want to keep him away. Hogan's at a level of a punchline, like, not at the same level, but he's a punchline like Bill Cosby is.
Yeah. Like, and, I mean, you look at the skit Cena did, and you see that, and you kind of go, this is a guy that is, he's not, I think if this had happened when he was in the 80s, because a lot of people didn't know any better, it wouldn't have been...
Well, yeah. You look at a lot of old TV shows, right? It's... Unfortunately, it's like, oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, a lot of stuff doesn't hold up as far as, like, homosexual nature and racist nature. And, you know, Hogan tried to state that he was an enemy of his time. That may work with your grandpa in the hospital with the nurses. It's not going to work when you're in front of a public traded company like the WWE.
Yeah. And I know what Hulk Hogan means to pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I know his place in the grand scheme of things. Why he's a big part of why you and me are here talking about this. Have a podcast, watch weekly. He was one of the big pillars to that. But that being said, he still did some pretty slimeball-y things. And... Mm-hmm. You can say what you will of him being in a bad time, a bad place, not being in good overall space, being recorded, and...
Again, but he did that stuff with his son, so it's really unforgiven. It's not a sense of his nature and, brother, I didn't really mean it, and it was a candid moment. No, you've said these negative words before, Hulkster. Yeah. Look, I still love Hogan because there's a part of me that loves it, so much like there's a weird part of me that still loves some stuff about Chris Benoit. But it doesn't make it right. It just, it's hard to sometimes disassociate this. And it's weird for us, right? Because we look at Hulk Hogan like a fictional character. Yeah. Much like you kind of look at Chris Benoit as a fictional character, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't look at them as real life people at times, you know? We don't look at them, even like a guy like LeBron and Sidney Crosby at times, they seem somewhat fictional, right? We just see them on TV. Yeah. Sometimes roll everything into that bowl. But here's the thing is, LeBron, he's in that category with LeBron and Sidney Crosby. He's a professional athlete, and if he's going to mess up, he's going to have to pay the price for it.
Yeah, and I think that he's got to pay the price, and
I don't think he should be shut out forever. I don't. I think he's redeemed himself to a little bit, but I still think there's a big community out there, us included, that it's never going to see him the right way again in any positive type of light.
Yeah, it's much like let me rephrase that. It's similar to the Roman stuff. Mm-hmm. He's been busted, 30-day suspension, and you sit there and one of your first top five thoughts of Roman is going to be that suspension. Hogan, there's a lot of negativity around the Hulkster.
Hogan was the beanock of hope, right? He was, say your vitamin, drink your prayers. He was Superman. America. He was Superman. He was America, and it's Superman doing something so terrible. Like, this is the guy that, you know, he was a hope for a lot of people and a lot of black kids too. You know, like, I remember listening to The Law the day after this happened and just saying, like, this was my favorite wrestler. This is not even my favorite wrestler. This was everything for me. I have a Hulk Hogan tattoo on and. He just broke my heart. And I remember that it's been about a year now, right?
Yeah.
I remember listening to the radio stations with some fans calling in, and it felt like the day Hogan died because of what he meant to everybody, but he just shattered everything that he meant to people with those comments.
he fell from grace. And, like, I mean, you see videos of him crying in the courtroom. He knows what this meant for him. Mm-hmm. He knows what this means, that everything he'd built was gone because he said words that are filled with hate, that have such a strong, negative, horrible connotation,
mm-hmm.
that he hurt a lot of people that looked up to him. And
he hurt me. I mean, you know, you were a Hogan fan, but you've always kind of been on the line, right?
Yeah.
I was devastated. That was one of my guys, man. You know, that was one of the guys. Him and Randy were two of the guys that got me into this. And for him to just destroy his legacy like that, you know, and it's weird. You know, these guys are supposed to have personal lives too, but how you use yourself, it's, again, much like a professional athlete, how you use yourself in the public eye, you're 24 hours, 24/7, you know? You can never be an imperfect human.
Yeah.
And he took being an imperfect human to another level.
Yeah.
There's, you know, having a stupid mistake like Roman did with a little drug suspension, and then there's spewing out hate.
Yeah. And that's where the difference comes, is Roman didn't say something that had such strong hate towards it.
What Roman will rebound, you know? Oh, yeah. Roman will rebound. Like,
Roman will rebound. Hogan, for a lot of people, will never rebound. A lot of people that what are they called? The little plushy things.
The wrestling buddies.
The wrestling buddies. They're going to look at that wrestling buddy they had as a kid, and their heart's going to break because they're going to see a guy they look up to be not only human, but a human that uses words of hate. I don't know. It's this Roman thing, this Hogan thing is such a slippery slope. There's so many angles. There's so many little things to it. But at the end of the day, he said words that you would never want your kids to say.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, too. How do you use him as a role model, you know?
Yeah. How could he ever be a role... Exactly. How could he be a role model? Seen as a far better role model than Hogan ever was. I think Cena's done... Cena has such a nice image to him that it would be a shame if there was a chink in that armor. Because in a lot of ways...
Everybody falls, though, right? Yeah. Everybody falls. We saw in the NBA playoffs recently with Stephen Curry, not to the same level, but everybody has the one thing that they get that chink in the armor, and it's amazing. It's Cena's 14th anniversary this year, and Cena's never had any scandal, nothing. I think there's been no athlete in the world, maybe next to Sidney Crosby, that has had a pretty clean reputation. It's still... People hate Sidney Crosby for different things, right? Like,
yeah. In the public eye. Cena's hated still as a guy that buries talent, the Nexus.
Yeah, yeah, but like, you kind of look at both those guys. Like, people don't like Sidney Crosby because they kind of think he's a pussy and this and that. But Sidney Crosby's never really done anything done, and he's been a good ambassador for the game of hockey. Much like, you know, Cena's really done nothing wrong. And same with LeBron as its ambassador. The worst thing LeBron did was leave Cleveland.
Yeah. Turned him into NWO and Hogan.
And then it turned him into NWO Hogan, but he never entered this other realm. So those are three examples of three of the prime athletes in there. And Brady, you know, another guy, hasn't really ever done anything wrong. He took a whisper out of a football, and people hate him because of that. But then you look at a face like Hulk Hogan, who's done something far, way worse. And I don't know how he rebounds. I mean, he can come back to the company, but it's the whispers are always going to be there.
Yeah, the whispers. And, I mean, this is a company that has... You look at it and you go, do they need Hulk Hogan?
I think, as far as the history, yes. You can't do the history without the Hulkster. I mean, when Ali passed away... It would have been nice to have the Hulk say something.
Yeah.
When, like for example, when Flair goes, it'd be weird if you didn't have Hogan say something on Flair. When Piper died, it was weird not having Hogan there to talk about Piper. That was weird. It's just, for stuff like that, it's nice to have him on deck. Yeah. And you don't have to use him all the time. They have Brett on the Legends deal. How much do they use Brett?
Yeah, barely any.
Barely. So it'd be nice, you know, you hear the music and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's the Hulkster, and me kind of, you know, and that aspect to have. And maybe he does a job of redeeming himself and he can get over in the black community and just the humanity community, really, you know?
Yeah.
Cause and for, have himself forgiven.
At the end of the day, it's about how the people feel about you. And I don't know how I feel about Hulk Hogan. I don't
know.
And I don't think a lot of people... I think there are some people that have their minds already made up. And, you know, it's a publicly traded company. He said words that were horrible, that shouldn't be uttered. And it's really up to Vince and the WWE.
You even look at what WWE's doing with Orlando, right? With the stuff there and having help in hand. It's the company that, you know, really has a big public image as far as, you know, not being a bully and all that stuff too. Be a star. Like, how can Hogan ever go to a be a star and have like a young black kid there and look any different than an asshole? Maybe he doesn't feel like that. I don't know. Maybe Hogan did get catched in a candid moment and he feels really bad about those words. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. He's going to see a young kid of any minority favor now, even a white kid, and the parent could not feel comfortable with him around the kid because of the sharp words that he says.
Yep.
And again, it's not just that tape. He said this stuff with Nick on that phone that one time.
Yep.
Like, this is a guy that just can't watch his words. You can't watch his public persona. Follow the guy on social media. And this is a guy that never got what he said either, Joel. Like, he had that stupid comment when Obama dropped the N-bomb on the Mark Maron show, and he said, made it look like, oh, well, Obama can say it, but and he doesn't get a shit, but I say it and I get a shit. As soon as he said that, it's like, well, you Hogan, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
That's the fear. You're WWE. You have live mics. Do you really want Hulk Hogan around a live
mic? Well, I'm not worried about him saying it in the ring, but I get what you're saying.
Even then, it's still like this guy has a history of Hogan's number one, and he'll put himself over. Like, I mean, there's a certain point where I don't know, the trust is broken. To me, the trust is broken, and I personally, you can bring him back to
have. He's going to pop a rating. To have Hogan back on the TV the first time, he's going to pop a rating. He's going to. It's just. The union, having that union back together, it's going to draw. I mean, you and I, you joked about it with me the other day. What are they going to do for this 4th of July weekend? Well, if you promised Hulk Hogan, that would get people interested to watch Monday Night Raw to have Hogan on it.
Yeah, it would draw. There would be a lot of angry people. There'd be a lot of intrigue in it. Because
what's that old Bischoff saying? Controversy creates cash.
Yeah, Hogan would create cash. But I think let's as we wind this podcast down, I think we should get to something a little bit more.
Let me just say this really quickly. Look, I look at stuff like even pop figures of Hogan, and it's stuff like seeing like that. It makes me sick to look at that. And I 2 years ago, I would have loved a Hulk Hogan pop figure, but now I don't know. And I would like to see him back in the company, see where we go. But even as far as, like, the NWO and the Hall of Fame, do you want to see that anymore?
No, not really. Like, it would be neat to see Scott Hall and Kevin Nash talk about the NWO.
Yeah.
But, again...
I want to see him back in the company as far as it's nice to have him there for some segments. I'm just going to end it here. It's nice to have him there for some segments, but for the most part, the less, the better.
Yeah, I agree.
For the history aspect, great. For the current product, no, because he can't go... And do the Jimmy Kimmels, the Good Morning America's, your commercials. You just can't have him for those. And you don't need him for those. You have John Cena.
Yeah,
you have Roman Reigns when he comes back. You have other guys.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot. There's a dozen other names I would send out. I'd send Zack Ryder before I would send Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. It depends what the company... Who's their... Goodwill ambassador right now, is it Flair?
I think it's a bit of Flair. It's a bit of,
because Hogan was very good at it.
Yeah.
Say what you want to say about Hogan, he was very, and that's what they wanted Warrior to do, and you know everything the Warrior said.
Yeah, it's very interesting who they picked as their Goodwill ambassador. But yeah, I think it's
maybe one day it'll be CM Punk.
I have my doubts. I think Cena's really still their goodwill ambassador in a lot of ways.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Cena's done a lot. And he's Miz, just Miz has done very good too.
And that's where I wanted to go next. So
yeah, get down.
Not good. No.
So that was John Pollock's worst match of the year, and I didn't think it was a terrible match, but that point especially threw him off.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was weird.
You wanted a demon, we got him.
Not the right one. I still like the Miz and Maurice act, and I thought when they first came in, they did a really good job of everything. But it was just the execution of the entire segment, and you know, we have all these guys returning. It's like, man, you and I love Glenn Jacobs so much, but it's just. It's 2016. No more Glenn Jacobs. No more Paul White, please.
Yeah, it's like, and you know what? Paul White, Big Show is going to be a great ambassador for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of all those things, like what he was doing for the Special Olympics and just everything he can do afterwards, he's going to be so good at it.
Yeah, and I think even Glenn, if he just is that, I think I actually still like Glenn as a GM character. But as Kane, it's just not the same anymore.
No,
it's a 1990s character in 2016, and it doesn't carry the way the Undertaker does.
The Undertaker's lightning in a bottle, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, like Kane, you know, there's moments where it's, you know, I don't know, it worked, but I just don't see it as prevalent as it once was.
Yeah, and you know what? I think he wants more of a career in politics.
Mm.
Not gonna hurt
Can
him.
Can he run instead of Trump?
Huh?
Can he run instead of Trump?
I think he'd probably be smarter than Trump.
I think he's a libertarian, though, so I don't think he'd be running in the same party, but maybe he can beat him.
Yeah,
possibly. Glenn Jacobs' ticket!
We'll get him and who else? Bob Backlund as his...
Yeah, Bob Backlund.
Alright, I think that's...
By the way, what happened to the Shooting Stars?
Star kind of crashed, Josh. It's not great.
They had one match, and then they went back to vignettes.
You know where Vince stands when that happens.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just saving them. I don't know.
I think it's probably saving them for the brand split.
Yeah. Here's a suggestion with it. Are they maybe saving them for Carlito?
That totally is possible. I would not be
sure. We are about 3 weeks outside from the draft now. We have some really long-winded Raws coming ahead of us, especially this one on 4th of July. And for us, 4th of July means nothing, because we're Canadian, and our big day is on Friday.
Yeah.
Not, no shots in America, you're not going to be really, it's just going to be another Monday for us. So I'm sure in Canada, it's going to do perfectly fine.
I'm going to be going to work that day. Same.
Yeah.
Business as usual.
But that Raw, I just, can you, what would be something you would do to put it overhead? I think we talked about, you know, maybe Cena, but that's really it. Do you do anything draft related that day?
Maybe.
Or is it the week after you really start ramping up the draft?
Week after. It's going to be a blow off show. Just have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of have some matches, have it be what it is, and then carry on.
Yeah. So we are 3 weeks away now from the draft. Who do you have as your two top picks so far?
Still Dean and Cena.
Dean and Cena? I'm going to go Roman and Cena. I think they still want to push him, and we're going to see that.
Yeah, not an argument for me.
I can't see them not pushing him. I want to be shocked if he wins at Battleground.
I don't.
I like what they've done with Seth. Well, I think it's either Roman or Dean, though.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And I would like to see a GM next week.
Yeah, anonymous GM.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anything else?
No.
Anything breaking? No.
No, nothing's popped up, so
All right.
We're golden.
All right, well, until next time, cheers.
Don't ask CM Punk for phone numbers. It's not good.
Enjoy the day, brother.